Welcome, everybody. I don't have a very loud voice, so he's going to see if he can find me a microphone, because otherwise I feel like I'm yelling and you can barely hear me. So we'll get started. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm going to do the best I can to give you a short presentation on the most recent preliminary kinds of research that I've done on the later levels of development, the four later levels in the stages model. So this is not anything final. We don't have enough information, in my view, to do anything that we could say is really solid. We have more at the first stage and a little more at the second stage. The third and fourth stages really don't have a lot of information, but I did the best I could with the information that I did have. So don't go home saying that you learned everything about the later levels of development, because you didn't and you won't. So my presentation is mostly about my views. Some of it are views that I've received from other people. Some of it is, but all of it's informed by the stages model and the work that has come out of the stages model that we've been working with for a while. Whoops, I've got the wrong picture right off the bat here. I'll start at the beginning. I view the developmental levels as, it just seems like I have had quite a bit of experience with this, personal experience. That doesn't mean it's true, and I don't know if there's ever anything that's true for all time. So that's the way I view things. Every stage, it seems like, is a little bit amorphous. It has a center that seems more solid, and then it has other parts of the stage that maybe are not quite so fixed, and that it's harder for us to see. So I start with a picture like this because it represents the amorphousness of almost every stage. So I'd like to just start with the view that I have on all models. In my experience, and to me and to some other people that I've had good discussions with, the view that I hold is that we're carving up consciousness many different ways. I'll push this out just a little bit. Consciousness doesn't have any boundaries in time or space, and yet we have all of these models that we're working with, and they're all beautiful. They all show us one perhaps smaller or larger view of consciousness, and consciousness holds them all, and no one model, I don't believe, represents all of them. So that's kind of the approach that we're taking. And so we have different ways of carving up consciousness. Some models have, stages divided into threes, tiers divided into three stages. Some have five or six stages, and some have the first tier is a number of stages, the second tier has different levels of state, different numbers of stages, and the later tier has yet even different numbers. So the way that the stages model works is, the understanding is we are also carving up consciousness. So I have a lot of different models here. Of various kinds, and you probably recognize most of them. And we even have had ancient civilizations carving up consciousness for thousands of years as well, different ways that we try to inculcate and find our way into understanding what consciousness is and how it actually manifests. From my view, the stages model is basically completely empty, and it's what we put into it that fills it up. So that's the view that I have of the way that the stages model works. So it's a number of fences, you might say, and the fences are empty until we put something in it. And we call the fences person perspectives. And then there's a part of the categorizing that we do in this stages model. Other models do it too. And one of the things that I've noticed through the years that I've worked with developmental stages of all kinds of models, I studied spiral dynamics for a long, long time, and of course I've spent some time with Suzanne's model, I've spent some time with this model, I've really been interested in the Lectica model because it also has repeating patterns in its tiers. But it seems like once we get started with a model and people read it, then they start looking for the categories that we have and even trying to be the categories that we have if they want to be at a certain stage. And to me, that's a kind of a social construction of reality. And before you have any developmental levels or any descriptions, how do we know what developmental level we have and how do we know if we are even growing up? So my sense of it is that we have to even watch the categories that we have. We have them, almost every model has them in order to be a model. But what about, you know, the part of a person perspective? Even the person perspectives carve things up, but what about the part of a stage, you know, that really doesn't fit into those particular categories that we have that we're so familiar with? So the purpose and the intention for this little workshop is stages, see if we can see if stages can be a supportive tool for growing gracefully in the later levels. Some ideas about how to use stages, and then an examination of the conundrum of belief itself. The conundrum of belief itself. Do you construct your own beliefs, or do your beliefs or do socially constructed beliefs construct you? And our beliefs, can we find a balance between the things that we get caught in, the categories we get caught in, the things that we make up ourselves, and see how we can use that in a way to clear ourselves and become more conscious as a whole? So I'd like to start out with the three big bangs, and this is not an idea that belongs to me, but Aurobindo really talked about this, and other authors have spent time with this, the big bang of matter, and with matter we have the periodic table of elements, which works really well. Then we have the big bang of life, plants and animals and humans, anything that is alive, and we have the DNA structure that really works well with that. And then we have the world of mind, and this is where all of our models are modeling after. And so today I'm going to talk about how the stages model actually works with this part of the mind part of things. So we, in our identification with the stages or the person perspectives, we ask three primary questions. And the first question is the object concrete, subtle, or meta-aware? So if it's concrete, it fits in this tier. If it's subtle, it fits in this tier. And if it's meta-aware, it fits in this tier. Now you might ask, what is a concrete object, what is a subtle object, and what is a meta-aware object? Definitions are really important. If you don't get the definitions very clear, then people don't come to a similar kind of agreement. And we all put our own definitions to almost every word we have. It may be nuanced in one way or another, but defining things and not defining things often you can have a conversation with somebody, and if you do have a conversation with somebody, you'll come away with a different idea than somebody else does when the definitions are different. So we very carefully define concrete, subtle, and meta-aware. So a concrete object is basically an object that you can more or less put a fence around, and even if you visualize it, the object itself you can put a fence around. So it's something that's tangible. And of course we could blow those objects up with a telescope and look at through microscopes and other aids to give us the view there, but those kinds of objects are generally concrete. And we go even more deeply into these definitions. So subtle, now subtle is a word that can get very mixed up because the spiritual traditions have a very distinct view of subtle. This is more like the definition, the dictionary definition. And this is anything that you can visualize or use your interior senses on, but you can't really put a fence around it. For instance, you can't really put a fence around a context. You can't put a fence around a complex adaptive system. You can't easily put a fence around the future. So those are some senses of what subtle might be around. Meta-aware, and so the objects, those are the subtle objects that come up in this tier. In this tier, what comes up is awareness of awareness. So the object is awareness. You are aware, and then you know that you're aware. So you are aware of your own awareness. And that's what some of the objects that come up in this tier are deal with awareness of awareness. So that's question number one. Question number two is the experience individual or collective? So individual is all more or less all about me, and that doesn't mean you don't have a collective, but that's what you're foregrounding is, this is my time in my life, and it's all about me. Collective is what we favor, a we space. Even if we favor a we space, we still always have an I, and even if we favor the individual, we still always have a collective. It's just that one is foregrounded and the other's backgrounded. So this pattern goes to individual, to collective, to individual, to collective, to individual, to collective. So the question number three is really the learning style, but it's the evolutionary part of the stages model, because you work through these different processes. So this is the process part of the model. I had a conversation with Mark Edwards to check out his sense of what you should do when you're modeling. And this was one of the areas that he said was pretty important, was to make sure you have a process part to the model itself. So the first one is receptive. That's, for instance, when a baby is just laying there and things come into them and they aren't doing anything, they're just receiving. And then the next is active. Once you've gotten some information that comes into you, what do you do with it? So you're out there being active with it. The third one is reciprocal. I'm doing something with you, and then I'm receiving something back from you. It's kind of like a figure eight. So it's both receiving and being active. And then the interpenetrative is like, I am you in some real way. And I'll give you an example of that in the concrete tier, and it's an example that happened to me. When I was a young housewife, we were invited out to dinner one time. And so we ended up over at this other couple's house, and I was in the kitchen and I was looking at her cupboards, and I looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, she is not a very good housekeeper. Look at all those marks on the cupboards. The water's been dripping all over the cupboards, and she hasn't even washed her cupboards for weeks. And I was shaking my head at her housekeeping. I went home and I looked at my cupboards, and there were all the drips there on my cupboards too. So that's the interpenetration. It's like, what's in you is in me in some real way. Only that's a concrete example. There are also subtle examples and meta-aware examples. So I'm going through this pretty fast. We're not going to have a chance to go through the definitions real carefully, but I want you to get an idea of this map. So the first early first-person perspective, then, if we just look across here, we have concrete, individual, receptive. And then the late first, which is 1.5, is concrete, individual, active. That's the egocentric stage, impulsive, egocentric, are some of the common names we hear about this. 2.0, of course, is a second-person perspective. So it's concrete, it's collective now, because to get a second-person perspective, you usually have a collective. And then it's reciprocal, because in collectives, you receive and you act. And so that's the rule-oriented Lovinger, one of the names that Lovinger gave it. 2.5 is concrete, collective, interpenetrative, so that's the conformist. So just to get to the meta-aware tier, where we're going to do some a little bit more work, 5.0 is meta-aware, individual, receptive. So you can see there's some repeating patterns here. Receptive, receptive, receptive. Each tier has a receptive. Each tier has an active. Each tier has an interpenetrative, a reciprocal and an interpenetrative. So there are upshifts. Here there's individual, collective. There's individual, collective. So you can see that there's repeating patterns here too. And then this is a 1-1-1-1, 1-1-1-1, 1-1-1-1 kind of pattern. And when you put them all together, you end up with a very unique definition of the person perspective. So the fifth person perspective definition in the meta-aware tier is meta-aware of the 5.0 early fifth person perspective, sometimes called construct aware. It's meta-aware, individual, receptive. It's for the construct aware. And it would receptive, and then you go to the next one, meta-aware, individual, active. Then you go to the next one, meta-aware, collective, reciprocal, and then the last one, meta-aware, collective, interpenetrative. This is where we're going to spend our time. Now, one of the things that when you get very curious about some of this information, one of the things that happens when you get really curious, when you see repeating patterns like this, you think, oh, they're going to continue on forever. So, you know, you start getting very curious about what's going to come up next. And, you know, looking at this work, we can come up with some repeating patterns in the unified tier as well. But that doesn't mean they're there. It means our mind is just wanting to make a bunch of stuff up again. And so we have to be careful we've got to be careful to actually have real experiences here and not just make assumptions that these things are true for any of these. Now, all of this is empty. It's just a big, like this is like a field, and it's got three different kinds of fences that have an empty space. And there's nothing in them until we put something in them. So the objects that are going to go into this 1.0 is concrete, individual, receptive. The objects that go into 5.0 are meta-aware, individual, receptive. And that we have a scoring system built around that. But the person perspectives or the these stages, these parameters are empty until we put something in them, because it's just laid on top of consciousness, which doesn't have automatic fences. And the hope and the ideal here is, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with this particular model, is that the fences build and build, and then they gradually drop so that you can be back with consciousness again. The main difference would be that at this level they don't have all of the objects and experience that is at this level, and at this level they would have a lot more information that would come up into consciousness. But we don't know that, and you see how the mind wants to just make things up all the time. So anyway, that's the map. And we'll look at it for each one of these. So here's a little bit about the work that we've done so far. We did a statistical study on the replication of the stages scoring system. And why is that important? Well, it's the basis of the repeating patterns. It scores with parameters rather than categories. It included scoring at the metaware tier so that the scoring, using that scoring system where the inner rater results were substantial using the kappa statistic. So that's one of the bases of the study that we've done. The second study that has been done, you know, if you have an inner rater and that's all you have, people can say, well, how do you know that one stage follows another? I mean, you know, they can all be, how would you know that? I mean, they could be spin out horizontally. You've just got a bunch of categories here, so how do you know that one stage is later than another? Well, for the last 15 years, we've been doing a longitudinal study, and for 14 of those years, we've been following people every 2 years for as long as they're willing to take the inventory. We've given it to them free, and we started out using Suzanne's model, and then I can rescore all of those with the stages model to see whether or not they still hold up, and they certainly have so far. So this shows that there's a second way. This study is important because it shows another way that you can learn that there's hierarchy in these stages. So there's a statistical study, and here's a report on 78 people that have made it into the MetaWare tier from the ones that we've been following. We've had over 300 people all together in that, and some of them are so new that we don't have we don't have data with them, but we've got quite a bit of data on many of these. So what we find here is this one had a beginning stage. And the ending stage, that's where they are now, and they grew three stages. One went from 3.5 to 5.5, that one grew four stages. I don't have a time factor in here. Three went from 4.0 to 5.5, four stages. 16 went from 4 to 4.5 to 5.0, that's one stage. So all of these grew, and they grew in an order, and they didn't really go backwards, except in two areas, people did go backwards. And we get down here. We had, 10 people. The first time this happened, we were just wondering, what in the world is going on? You know, these stages are supposed to be grow up. They're not supposed to grow down, you know. What have we done wrong in our program? You know, people are not. So we kept following them. And what we found was that people who were transforming from 4.5, which is the teal level, to the 5.0 stage, which is the construct aware level, which is where our tier jump is. And people put tiers all over the place, but this is just our data. What we found was that the first year they would score 4.5. The second time, 2 years later, they'd score 5.0. 2 years later, they'd go back down to 4.5. 2 years later, they go back up to 5.0, and it would take them a while to land. And what we realized with every one of those that had so much struggle rocking back and forth, it was a stage that had a three-parameter change. They changed the tier, they changed the individual to the collective to the individual, and they changed interpenetrative to the receptive again. So that's a big jump when you make three parameter change. So that's we've just found that 10 people have rocked back and forth, and some of them we found were rocking back and forth between 5.5 and 6.0. 5.5 is our transpersonal stage. It's the second part of the fifth person perspective. And 6.0 is the, we call it the universal stage. Aurobindo calls it higher mind. But that has a two-parameter change, so people have more of a struggle there. And, you know, when they rock back and forth, a little bit more there, too. So there are some places where people You know, they go back and forth before they make it. It might take years, and in some cases it did. But ultimately, they ended up in the later stage. So that's just a little bit of data. 76% grew one stage or more, 12% stayed the same, and 12% rocked back and forth between two stages. So that's a little bit about the longitudinal data. And what we have so far in our 15 years and the following that we are still doing in this longitudinal study, it seems to show that that people tend to grow up through these later stages. And
let me ask, like in that study, was it just like people, you scored them and they lived their lives and you scored them again? Or
yes.
Were part of the program?
Yeah, the program is 9 months. So we scored them before they got into the program. The program lasted 9 months, and then we waited for 2 years from their first protocol so that they'd be back out in their life mixing it up. And we can't, you can never claim that it was your program that changed it. But still, we just wanted to see how they were doing. And it was just a blessing to us that we had a population of people that were starting to move into these later areas. And we still have a lot of work to do on this. This is just very, let me go back to this datum.
Age of participants?
All ages. They're adults. The program is an adult program. So they were from the age of 19 up to 75 or so. It was a fairly wide swath of people, age-wise. So the third thing we did was qualitative research. Why is qualitative research important? Because beginning social construction of reality, what are replicated categories of experiences reported by people who score at these levels? Because these categories are embedded in an evolutionary research system, the categories are never final. And there is room in the stages model for people at these levels who have experiences outside of the ones we find in the qualitative studies, which we do too. So reality seems to be both. Reality seems to be both. Reality. This is reality. Okay. Okay, so anyway, you know, one of the questions we're asking is reality both collectively constructed and individually constructed? And is reality both collectively constructed and individually deconstructed? And it looks like that is might be one of the good questions to ask. So this is how I did this study. I took a random sample of, on our platform, on our scoring platform, my wonderful tech person who is just the most fabulous, helpful woman I've ever met in this area, because I don't understand technology very well. So she can do some remarkable little things with the technology and Zoom. All of the stems in the whole platform will come out on one page. So all the 5.0 ones will come out, all of the 5.5 ones will come out, all of the 6.0 and all of the 6.5 ones will come. Well, you know, when you have 5,000 or 6,000 stems at 5.0, you're not going to go through all of those for a preliminary study. I guess the room is small enough that I can be heard so often people say they can't hear me. So you just take a random sample, and of course she can fix the platform so that it goes that way. So a random sample of sentence completions at each of the four levels. I did a total of 550 sentence stems, and then I coded each completion for the primary areas and looked to see how many repeating areas that there were. Then I categorized those areas that seemed to fit in a category together, and then I used the parameters to sequence them and identify any transitions. Then I looked at the themes within each stage, and then I looked at themes across the stems where you could see the growing up from one level to the next. So that's where I came up with the categories that we have so far. And 5,000 or so responses in 5.0, we've got 6,000 or 7,000 altogether stems. But that's not very many, really, when it comes to data. So this is definitely preliminary. And I only have 550 stems that I worked with. I spent quite a long time looking at all of these and coding each of these sentence stems.
Larry, can I have a question now, or you prefer at the end?
Well, go ahead.
Because the sentence completion test, I took it. It's very nice. But so I had my score. And I was thinking, I was wondering, okay, how to do it to score more? And once you know the integral, I think if I took it second time, I know what to write to have better scores. I didn't test it, so I cannot say that it is, but I think I would know.
Well, the thing is that we also score on grammar, because grammar grows up, mm-hmm. and we have people who have prodigious spiritual comments to make, but their grammar gives them away every time, you know? Right. I mean, if you're in an active stage, try and write with passive language. Mm-hmm. Try and write reciprocally when you're really it just does not happen. So the grammar, we don't even look at the content when we score. We look at all of the other things first, and then we go back and look at content later. We don't score by categories at all. So we've had a lot of people try to jigger the test, and we're human beings, we want to do that. But we've really worked hard to see if we could make it difficult for people to do that. Another thing that we have on our platform is a timestamp. So if we see somebody spend 6 hours taking this inventory, we have a clue about what they're trying to do. And then we also know, over time we see, this stage usually takes a long time. This stage gets it done in 25 minutes, So you kind of start getting data that way too. So these are the sorts of things that we do to for us to learn from. And time is a really big deal on this. And the platform will get them right down to the mini second, and we know exactly how long it takes them from the time that they...
And it's a big problem for the non-English.
Yes, that's true, and we take that into account. We take that into account because we know they're taking it in English. Yeah. Actually, when it comes right down to it, sometimes it really tells us, this person is at this particular, they score at this stage, they are. This is about the amount of time that people take. Because no matter how we try, unless we have people sitting in a room that we're monitoring and then we grab the tests away from them, we will never be able to know that they took their test in just 1 hour or 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very careful to have that time stamp on there because it tells us how much time they take. And even if they know that they're supposed to get done in a certain amount of time, some people are very rigorous about, right on the dot they're done. They're really good at managing their time. And other people, they just get in a flow and off they go. And when they're done, it's like, they didn't realize they took that much time. But we kind of can tell. It's information on the stage, and it's also information possibly on trying to make things look better than they really are. So we have a few things to work with that way. So let's see. Did I do it wrong again here? Yeah, so there's that. Whoops, I missed the bottom one here. How do I get to it? Okay, triangulation with the literature. So So what I've tried to do is just with this preliminary study and just kind of testing out to see whether or not it would work. We have the statistical for the statistical study that we did. Now we have this longitudinal study. Then we have the qualitative research, and then I triangulated with the only person that I know that has later levels, and that's Aurobindo. So after I'm all done with this, then I look to see whether Aurobindo's stages match this up. So I'm going to go clipping through this pretty fast now. Transition to 5.0. Flood of ideas and thoughts. Awareness is faster than thinking. So there's blurting. Quite often you see cursing come out before it comes out of the mouth, before you even know. And cursing. even in the writing, sometimes it comes out. Sometimes the speech freezes. So you have lots of dot, dot, dots, dot, dot, dots, and you can see this in their person, and sometimes they interrupt their own speech, parentheses and things like that, that helps them to interrupt their own speech. So we see a lot of that happening on this part. And of course, this is, now we're going into the 5.0, it's meta aware, individual, receptive, that's the fence that we're looking at. Early 5.0, the most prominent in the early part is projections in the moment was a stage, and sophisticated opposing poles with paradoxes and oxymorons was another 8%. And immanence, body, mind, spirit, they hardly ever use those words. And if they do, I'm suspicious because they probably have heard me talk. So getting some real particular personal way of putting that down is, and it's not as easy to do as you might imagine. Looped thinking, often combined with one of the above. Sophisticated metaphors and seeing hubris. They just had 1% of the responses that we had. There were several stages where they just start seeing hubris. They're not very good at it yet, but they start seeing that. The late 5.0 have words and meanings, the category of words and meanings, and 62% of them had these kinds of categories in them. Multiple of three or more definitions of a word and phrase, so that you can't nail a definition down. Appearances, such as illusions and dreams. Emptiness of language they talk about. And they talk about that the word meaning and words are constructed. They're constructions made up by me, which means this is an individual construction of reality, not a social construction of reality. So they don't know sometimes they don't know the meaning of words. They talk about made up stories, redefinitions and questioning the redefinitions. They spend a lot of time talking about certain kinds of labels, plays on words, and construction of cause and effect. Categories that go across the fullness and emptiness. On the interior and exterior, we have a fullness on the exterior and an emptiness on the interior, on the interior-exterior poles in this particular state, particular area. They're aware of their own individual awareness, but sometimes they're aware of being aware, and sometimes they're aware of being unaware. Sometimes they're aware of very subtle senses like presence, attunement, and witnessing. So that's aware of the very subtle. And sometimes they talk about their own emerging awareness. They have another category is their identity starts changing. So they have multiple definitions of the self, larger self, a new self. They talk about their self being a part of a whole. They talk about loss of an old self-identity. They question their identity and awareness building into identity. So these are some of the things that came up in my preliminary study. They'll probably change and they'll probably become more robust as time goes on, but this is what I came up with this particular time. So time becomes a big area all the way through the metaware tier. Confusion of time and the timeless. Beginning understanding of timeless. They talk about the moment in particular. Historic time, time related to space, and then loss of time. Those are the different kinds of processes that they talk about when they deal with time. So now we have a transition from 5 point, don't take pictures, please. And let me tell you why. Because lots of times what people do is they see something like this, they'll make up in their mind what a stage is. And they've got a big picture of what that stage is. And they may actually grow into that stage, but it doesn't match their picture, so they don't even know they're there yet. And this is, I'm not kidding you, I've had this happen. The exact opposite has happened, where you make up a picture in your mind, and then you step into that picture, and you think you are there, and you are not there. Our interior senses do not represent reality very well. So it's really important that you experience this information and the stage the way it is in you. Because especially at these stages, we don't have that much information. It's not concrete enough to say this is what these stages really are. So I discourage people from telling somebody, oh, I got to be I scored it a 6.0 or I scored it a 5.5. And then their friend says, and they think that they have to get the same experience the other person has. This is not a good idea in my view. So take this in. I don't want it to go out as being Terry's research because it's preliminary, and I don't want you to paste a bunch of pictures in your mind and go back and read it and then think you've got Nirvana stuck on your, it just isn't something that I recommend. So transition from 5.0 to 5.5. This just simply goes from 5.0, which is construct aware, to 5.5, which is ego aware. And Suzanne was the first person that I know of that ever talked about ego aware at this level. And so we have some data on this, and I was very grateful for her understanding that this experience really is available to consciousness. Focus on emptiness of words diminishes. They say that words are inadequate. Words paint pictures, words fabricate fantasy, and that they're just a label. They have an automatic understanding of individual construction, so they ask a lot of questions like, what do you mean? And they'll say things like, it depends on how you define these things. This is an active stage, and so their language is much different than at the receptive stage.
Talk about metaware, like the jump from subtle to metaware. We're talking about after having the experience of emptiness.
Well, we're talking about the emptiness of words and boundaries, primarily.
So it's not a realization of.
It's not necessarily the realization of emptiness, although many people do get a realization of emptiness long before this, as you know from Ken's Wilbercombe's Matrix. But these stages really look at how the words we have, the definitions are amorphous, and so in that way, the word is just a word; it's empty. So these folks ask a lot of the times, "What do you mean?" Because they're pretty sure that you don't mean what I mean by that word or by that phrase, and they'll talk about words and phrases a lot. So this is metaware individual active. So this is an active stage. And it still is an individual stage. So some of the categories from 5.0 grow up. And how do I know? Because they change from more receptive language to more active language. And these start growing up. From constructed words to constructed beliefs. They don't just talk about the words and the boundaries being constructed. They start working with constructed beliefs. 19%. And of that, there's illusion. They talk about they're falling for a belief, creating belief stories, and reification of even concrete objects. They talk about limiting mind stories, going beyond mind, and they can see perceptions, conceptions, constructions, reshaping how we define our concepts, construction of our world, and recognizing the limitations of belief itself seems to come up at this stage. More categories. Relative space, so this is as time and space continues on. They lengthen and the expansiveness strengthens, boundaries expand, changing the trajectory of boundaries on the other side of boundaries. These are the kinds of things that they talk about with boundaries. And these are not necessarily the words they use. It's just I found a number of responses, and that's what they all seem to be referring to. Creating space. I sit in a drop of space. They use metaphors like that. Some people use an ocean or a sea or an infinite expanse, but it's on an individual kind of an experience, because this is an individual stage. They talk about relative time, it lengthens, and the timelessness strengthens. Post-generation time, so they get into the historical and even into eternity, which is the fullness part of this stage. Timeless, changeless is the emptiness part of this stage, and these words start creeping in. Time and space, oftentimes silence is something that comes up here. And they individualize the 4.5 collective. The collective and awareness is sometimes confused. And confusion happens through all of these new stages. Either they get fused or they get confused. So one of the areas here that I see oftentimes is that there can be a field of awareness. And if somebody pops into that experience, then because it's an individual awareness, it's like, you know, they are a cell inside, like they think of it like a concrete collective, or like a system, or like a context. So the collective that they have is at the 4.0 and 4.5 stage, because they haven't gotten to 6.0 or 6.5 yet. So they grow that 4.0 and 4.5 collective up, and the end result for some people, not for all people, but I've noticed, you know, enough people that will say, I am like a cell inside of this organization that I'm in. And they see the later collective, subtle collective systems being alive with their own identity. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying that's what they're reporting. I'm also not saying it is true. I don't know. So the new categories at 5.5, awareness of consciousness as experience of the moment, awareness of individual awareness. Awareness is a mirror. It includes negating not this, not that. We see quite a bit of that kind of language. Unknowing, unaware, not awareness. You get that kind of verbiage that goes on here. So late 5.5, they prepare for transition into 6.0. And so they have individual holes that they seen that I am seeing the universe. They have expression of creation and manifestation. So suddenly the hole gets a lot larger. And here's where the big letting go. This is the whole stage is really a very active stage. But just before they start into the transition, they seem to look at everything and realize that too is constructed. And there seems to be just a lot of comments about letting go and allowing and surrendering start coming up. So Aurobindo's 5.0 and 5.5 levels, it talks about the psychic being, the soul takes a form. It's a spirit. He calls it a spiritual evolutionary spark. Inner chatter goes away. There's quietness. This is a quality of the timeless, which manifests by late 5.5. These folks tend to get some experiences of the timeless. And Aurobindo says that they have to see that the physical, the vital, the mental ego, they have to see those in order to uncover the soul. 5.5 is an ego-aware stage, and so they really do start grappling with the ego. The soul must be uncovered in order to move into the spiritual stages. The next stage is, in my estimation, is Aurobindo's first spiritual stage, higher mind. And active and passive or receptive is referred to throughout Aurobindo's writing. So he also uses this active and passive and in them in combination. So just checking in on Aurobindo's work. So the repeating patterns we have in the concrete tier, we have sensing, meta-sensing, which is your interior sensing, collective meta-sensing. In the subtle tier, we get into particularly metacognition, and then awareness at 4.0, and aware sensing the very subtle objects out there that they have. And then the metaware tier, we have metaware sensing and turning back on the self, new constructed self. So they have a new self there, and the individual awareness of awareness that starts happening, and it's an individual process. So now we're in transition to, let's see here. Kim, you make sure that I think I've got some time.
If you want to, it's 4:23.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So we're now in transition to 6.0. So here's where they start seeing holes. They begin to see holes, but they don't see a relationship with them as they just go into the transitionary part. There's no hole yet, but another realization. For instance, they might not have a hole yet, but they might realize evolution and involution, or they'll begin to see holes, but they don't have a relationship with them. But they're starting to play around with some new ideas here. They have deep experiences with timelessness and boundlessness. The trajectory or experiences with space. Boundaries are concrete, held by others, but not by me. Boundaries are subtle but stable. This is a trajectory, and they seem to kind of understand the trajectory. Boundaries are concrete and held by others, but not by me. That's the concrete tier. Boundaries are subtle but stable, subtle tier. Boundaries are made up, and we can make them pliable with our mind, so that's the metaware tier. And sometimes his boundaries are not here, even there, so they feel this boundlessness and spacelessness, speaking about that in some ways. The trajectory experience with time is that they can start seeing time is concrete and it's held by others, but not me. Time is subtle, it's relative, it's related to how I feel. Metaware tier is time is made up. There's only the timeless. I can see the empty and full, but not within or in relationship to the whole. So this is all just going into 6.0, and they're playing around with, I saw a lot of playing around with time and with space here. So this is the move now into 6.0, which is metaware. Now we're in a collective, a reciprocal, universal stage. I'm going through this pretty fast because there's more here than I can either spend a whole time on one stage or breeze over it, and that's kind of what I'm ending up doing here. Life and humanity, early 6.0 doesn't have many categories at this stage. They can talk about the whole with emptiness or fullness or another quality. They have multiple descriptions of wholes that they began in the 5.5 life. Multiplicity, non-hierarchical, only names the whole. And small to immense. For instance, they can talk about the whole cosmos and my stiletto heels, or the grain of sand, all in one breath. And they include humanity and sentience, life. Reciprocity with the universe is a living entity. So this is more the collective aspect. We have the concrete collective that is a that are people in a building or in a church. We have the subtle collective, which is a context or a system. It may include people. Now we have the metaware, which is the whole universe. That's the collective. It seems to be the way that we would define collective here. Describes the experience without using the word. They're in reciprocity with the universe as a living entity, and they describe the experience, but they don't use the word reciprocity. They just talk about how they are in this relationship with the whole universe. And they talk about how the insides and the outsides are permeated by the whole. And they use metaphors like ocean and waves. And they most of the time they don't use the ocean and waves metaphor because they have their own experience of it. I am it and in it, awareness seeing itself, all of it, identifying with all of it. They experience oneness with the universe, all life forms, dissolution into one. This doesn't mean non-dual. It's just a sense of connectedness. Like we can experience oneness in a projection. What I see in you is in me, and in that way we are one. If your sink is dirty and my sink is dirty, in that way we're one. You know, it depends upon the level of development that you see the oneness. You know, the oneness comes about depending upon what you are able to see. So they use the word one, but they can't describe the experience necessarily. Some people do because they have high spiritual states, but they may not use the right kind of language or grammar for this stage. So we can kind of tell. Sees categorical trajectories of earlier levels, life and mind, and they see it as being large, huge. Concrete, subtle, causal, within the whole, for instance. They might say that, or they might have other terminology for it. They see human trajectories within their description of the whole. So fullness and emptiness of space and time comes up. This is a very interesting one. They see infinity and eternity. That's the fullness part. And then they see timelessness and boundlessness. And sometimes they confuse the two. Quite often they confuse the two. They'll define infinity and timelessness as the same thing, for instance, and eternity and boundlessness, or infinity and boundlessness is the same thing, and timelessness and eternity is the same thing. They can't really tell the difference between them. One is empty, the other is full. So when you look at the interiors and exteriors, you know that one side is empty and the other side is full, and then you can tell what the difference is here. But they use those words interchangeably. Later on, they don't make those mistakes anymore.
4:30.
Okay, thank you. So they confuse the two. Fullness and emptiness, fullness. So late 6.0 is bringing together fullness, time and space, eternity and infinity, and emptiness, and timelessness and boundlessness within a larger whole. Can see individual examples of matter, life, and mind within wholeness, but they don't categorize them and they can't put them into a trajectory yet. They're all over, you know, they're within the completion, but they aren't in any kind of order. They see emptiness and fullness of the whole. They usually have another word besides whole, and there are responses that don't fit in any of these categories. And this is the interesting thing: we have these categories, and they fit in the center of the fence, but there's like 4 in this case, 4 to 10, or sometimes as many as 20% of ones that score with the parameters, but they don't score with the categories. They don't fit in a category. So these could possibly describe the uniqueness that we have at every single developmental level that don't fit in any category because there aren't enough of them. So it gives us a wide range of having an acceptable way to fit within the parameters, which are the names of the spaces of the person perspectives. But they don't fit in the categories, which to me is really what might, one of the ways we might explore this is this the social construction of reality that comes up starting with the researcher, you know? Are we doing that when we put things in categories? I ask myself that question every time I go into this kind of research. And then there's those that don't fit into any categories. So here's what Higher Mind, Aurobindo, says: knowledge formulating itself on a basis of self-existent all awareness, meta-aware. See, these are the parameters. Collective, he says, its basic substance is the unitarian sense of being with a multiple dynamism, capable of the formulation of a multitude of aspects of knowledge, ways of action, form, and significance of becoming. Reciprocal, receptive, the relations with idea, of truth with truth, are not established by logic, but pre-exists and emergence, already self-seen in the integral whole, and active. There's also an aspect of will, of dynamic effectuation of the truth. So, transition to 6.5, trajectories of the whole is 6%. And there are very few categories of 6.5, but I'll point out the few that we do have. They start to see the trajectories of life and mind within the timelessness and spacelessness. And then they also have other trajectories. They put uncategorized descriptions of matter, life, and mind together. And that's the bottom one, meta-aware, collective, interpenetrative. And early 6.5 goes with wholes, with categories and trajectories. They categorize the trajectories of matter, life, and mind. They name two trajectories: the developmental human trajectory and beyond human. Matter, life, and mind is beyond human. The exterior developmental process that includes all trajectories, and then evolution of the whole universe. Then they categorize the trajectory of awareness, aware of the developmental trajectory of awareness. They are aware of the involution of the whole into each preceding form, which makes the next succeeding level empty or invisible. It's really interesting because some of these people that take this are not people that even write, they haven't studied spiritual anything. They just, this is their experience, they come up with this. This is a lot of words, I know, and it's like, oh my gosh, how can I get all of this in one breath? But fullness and emptiness come together into one, and they're aware that evolution of awareness, and they're aware that evolution of awareness and involution of fullness turns back on themselves. They use that kind of language, and they see that pattern, and the whole is in within me. Interpenetration is timeless and spaceless, and time and space interpenetrate. No insides, no outsides, but this is on reflection. They can't see it in the moment yet. And then 10% of these stems are totally uncategorized. And so these are just what Aurobindo says about metaware, collective, interpenetrative. So I know that's a pretty fast run through, and I have to catch a shuttle in 10 minutes, so I'm going to have to go without even answering any questions. But I thank you for listening anyway, and I know that I went through this pretty fast. I had to make an executive decision to just run through it fast or give you a deeper dive into some of the other ones. This last stage is really it's very amorphous yet, so we're just starting to pick up some categories there. And thank you all so much for your attention. And please understand that these are preliminary studies, and also that the researcher and the researchers that work on these have their own stuff that they are having to look at as they're putting categories together. So, you know, we need lots of ways of looking at all of this. So that's...
Thank you.